Support for this episode comes from John Conrad. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, you bunch of knuckleheads.
Blowing my head off's not going to make you any richer.
Sure going to make me feel better.
I'm getting too old for this. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 97, inching ever closer to 100. This is a new episode of a show that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. You may be familiar with it. I don't know if you are or not. If you're here for the first time, well, then tuck in. You're in for a hell of a ride. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight is Brian. Narrating your film is always a dumb move, Dunaway.
Do you know how I can tell a Maverick is bluffing at poker? He starts yelling angry anti-Semitic things. Look serious for a second and then starts laughing like a crazy person. Also, Scott likes to gum his women.
You just throw that in at the end. That's nice. I like that a lot.
I was a little more serious at the beginning. I had to, you know, go a little different at the end.
Fair enough. Also with us, Randy.
Anti-Semitic.
Randy Mary Margaret Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian, this week's film reminded me of what it was like that summer I worked as a Native American actor. See, I was inescapably typecast as a wise old medicine man every time, so I chose to stick it to the man by instead taking a role as a goofy con man masquerading as a wise old medicine man, which showed that I'm not going to conform to stereotypes, damn it.
Yeah, I like Graham Greene. I like him a lot. And then bringing up the rear, Brian Margaret Mary Ibbett.
The amount of double-crossing and backstabbing this film makes me a little suspicious of you three, and actually makes me wonder if two of you are working together behind my back. Wait a minute. Deluxe away. Oh, my God. Now I get it.
Or you think you get it.
We've been warning you about it for years now.
Double-cross, triple-cross, quadruple-cross.
Right.
Bing, 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 bing.
You're my dad?
What?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, spoiler. Maverick. Yeah, came out in 94. Maverick's the movie. Contains one Mel Gibson. It's also got the Jim Garner in it, who played the original.
The James.
Jim Rockford. He's got Jim Rockford in it.
Yep.
Got patches on his elbows, drives a Trans Am or a Camaro, whatever the hell it was. That's gonna bug me. I think it was a Camaro. Anyway. Remember he'd call Angel? And they'd work out crime. They'd solve crime.
Exactly.
Maverick is the movie, though. Although I would like to see a Rockford Files movie. Just saying. They could put that out and I'd watch it. Maverick came out in 94, the year my daughter was born. I always think of 94 movies in a weird way because it was the year that you would have to make these weird decisions about movies. Like, do we take her? Is she going to cry? Will she not cry? Turns out our first kid was very quiet at everything we ever took her to. She'd sleep through everything. So we took her to movies like Relic and... like scary loud films, and she'd be fine. She'd just sleep. So she slept through Maverick, as I almost did this time around. Just kidding. Maybe not that much. I thought it was all right. Let's let Scott Fletcher explain, and he'll tell us all about it, and we'll come back and give our own opinions. Scott Fletcher, tell us all about it.
Maverick. Director Richard Donner pumps new life into this big screen remake of the classic Western television series, with Mel Gibson assuming the role of poker-playing grifter Brett Maverick. Maverick needs a wad of cash to enter a big tournament, so he targets a couple of small-timers, like the lovely Annabelle, played by Jodie Foster, but ends up getting caught in a variety of comedic conundrums as he's being pursued by a marshal. Played by original Maverick, James Garner.
Okay. Can I just on the tail of that tell you that with a piece of trivia I think is fake? Here's the trivia.
Okay.
I call total bullcrap on this. James Garner's role was first offered to Paul Newman, who turned it down.
Why would they do that?
That's bull crap. Right.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even think about doing that? Why would you go to your second choice?
Yeah.
The whole point of the role, even if his role wasn't to be the dad, you know, that was the big reveal at the end, it's still James Garner, and it's still Maverick, and he's still alive, right. So you call James Garner.
Totally.
I don't believe that.
Well, and there's the fact Firebird. And there's just the happy accident that James Garner looks exactly like Mel Gibson.
Right.
Like they really, you just can't help but notice that they look like father and son.
There are similarities, though. I was a big Maverick show fan. In fact, on Netflix, the entirety of that series in black and white is up. And it's still fun to watch. Have a good time
with it. It's in black and white?
Oh, yeah. Most of it.
Oh.
Yeah, most of it. It's like Gunsmoke. Lots and lots of black and white, and then a couple of chunks of color, Technicolor. Mm. And that started looking real bad, kind of like, what was the one with Lauren Green?
Bonanza.
I was going to say Pandorado. What the hell's wrong with me? It's not even a word. Pandorado. Sure. I'm thinking of Pandorosa, Silverado, and
Ponderosa.
What did I say? Pandorosa?
I now have my monk's name.
Yes, I write.
Perfect.
Sake,
that was one of our goals today. Brian needed to figure out what his monk's going to be called. So director Richard Donner, we've done the only other movie we've done with him, I think, is Superman 2. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we done another Donner film?
We haven't. No, I don't think we have.
Which is a shame.
Talking about a Lethal Weapon movie coming up soon, maybe. But
We got.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure we've all decided we're going to watch Lethal Weapon 2. So.
Well, I feel like I kind of watched it during a bank robbery in this film. Do not remember that from when I first saw it at all.
I don't remember it either. But yeah, it is heavy. It's not light.
Are we forgetting Lady Hawk? Lady Hawk.
Oh,
that was Richard. Yeah. Oh, that was Richard Donner. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Nice catch.
And
the
Omen.
What? That's Richard Donner?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, well, we're stupid.
I knew we had seen some.
Yeah.
So this is our fourth Richard Donner film.
Good Lord.
Wow. Okay.
You guys see, I don't know if anyone's noticed on the Frog Pants Wikia, there is an incredible bunch of pages for us, and one of them is this connections page, and it's got nothing to do with what we talk about on the show necessarily. Somebody else is going out and doing all the connections, and they have found a list of actors. I should look this up now. But a list of actors who are the most prominently featured on the show. And they're not the guys we think they are, because we're forgetting about secondary guys. Like if we're talking just like the stars of the thing, well then, yeah, we're probably looking at what's his name, Van Damme or somebody like that. But they've got this list where we're seeing crazy list of people that I hadn't even known. I didn't even know they existed. And they've been in like 10 of the films we've done. It's really good. You guys should check it out. It's a Wikia page, so you can just go search for Frog Pants and find it. I think it's frogpants.wikia.com. Much fun to be had there. And the community, you guys are nuts. You guys are amazing. There's also Wikipedia stuff up about it as well. Anyway.
You know, Richard Donner films are actually just perfect for Film Sack. Like, if we get the chance to watch Scrooged or The Goonies or The Toy, we have to.
Toy's the Richard Pryor deal?
Yep, Richard Pryor, Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
See? It's just we have to watch Richard Donner films if we get a chance.
That way we get two Jackie Gleason films on Crumbsack at least.
Yeah.
So this is for you, Ibbot.
Okay.
The film is loaded with cameos by famous country singers such as Carlene Carter. She played the waitress on the riverboat. Hal Ketchum, the bank robber. Vince Gill, a spectator at the poker game. Clint Black.
Yeah.
He gets thrown off the boat for cheating. Waylon Jennings and Kathy Matea, or whatever. Two people with guns on the riverboat. A cavalcade of country hits. How did that land on you, Mr. Music Man? Or you don't like country anyway.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I'm not into the new country. And if it was Hank Williams, I would have been really impressed because he's dead. But if it were people like, you know, Hank Williams, Willie Nelson, maybe even Kenny Rogers. I think Kenny Rogers is about as modern as any country that I would listen to, and that's still.
Yeah.
I don't listen to any country before I listen to any.
Well, Kenny Rogers looks like he looks like Lonnie Anderson now. Anyway, so have you seen him lately? Ooh, man. Anyway, yes.
Pick me.
Yes,
Lonnie
Randy,
Anderson looks like Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, Randy. Yes.
Back in the day when I saw this film in the theater in like late 1994, I was impressed with all that.
With all the country singers?
Yeah, I used to listen to country. I was living in South Texas at the time, and seeing guys like Vince Gill, Clint Black, very much.
I was heavy grungy man at the time when this came out, and so I was, all Nirvana'd up and
And he'll say sitting around with his thermal shirt on, striped thermal shirt.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Striped thermal shirt. What's a thermal shirt? Thermal shirt?
Like an undershirt, a thermal shirt. That's what he was kind of wearing
like
in that video.
Like long underwear long kind johns. Of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
You know, grunge never heard stuff? That before.
No, the grunge scene had people wearing long underwear as a thing? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Totally you read, man, wear flannel
shirts, yeah.
Flannel and undershirt. You're just very cold
white,
in Seattle.
White undershirts.
Yeah, oh, white undershirts.
Okay.
Totally would
happen. No, I don't.
And you
I don't
call yourself a Cobainiac, whatever. I don't want to hear it, man.
Cobainiac. Please tell me they're not called Cobainiacs.
They are now.
I hope you know what? That is an awesome coined phrase. A Cobainiac. That's really good, Brian. I'm not kidding. If that's not already out there, oh my heck, I feel like we're sitting on a bomb here. That's really good. Seriously, we need to find a way to use that. Cobainiac.com. Register it. Let's get this going. Anyway, so, all right. Cavalcade of Country Stars never landed on me because I had no idea who any of these people were. So, wasn't that big a deal for me. Number of stars.
I didn't even know half those guys were in it the second time I saw it. Watching it now until I saw the credits.
Yeah, good point. A number of stars of classic television westerns play in the poker tournament as well. So, we had Denver Pyle from The Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp. He was on there. This is no relation to Bob Denver or Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, not the opera singer.
You were on a plane with Denver Pyle?
I was on a plane with Denver Pyle. That was back when he was on Grizzly Adams or Gentle Ben or one of those.
Did he go, "Grawl, will you, but"? Did he do that or was it?
That's Gomer
Pyle. No, that's Gomer Pyle.
Not a real person, by the way. Gomer Pyle did not exist as a human being. Let's see, William Smith from Laredo, Doug McClure and Jesse Dury from The Virginian, Henry Darrow from the High Chaparral of Robert Fuller from Wagon Train and Laramie. Anyway, whatever. Again, like last week, a graveyard of ancient Western stars.
And Jeffrey Lewis.
And Jeffrey Lewis.
Which is always good. Jeffrey Lewis is always funny.
I love Jeffrey Lewis. He's in a lot of Mel Gibson gigs. You know that? I wonder why that is. They buddies?
That's one of the weird.
Yeah.
I have to impersonate Scott Johnson and declare that I will watch Alfred Molina in pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Love him. I just want him to go, you throw me the idol, I'll give you the whip. I want him to say that. Never did. No, he's great, man. I mean, my daughter and I watched this together, which is kind of hard for her because I have to stop and record and do stuff. But she loved this movie, my 14-year-old daughter. She thought it was great. She's into Westerns like me anyway, and she'd never really been handed a light comedic Western of the fluffy nature that this movie is, because there's nothing hardcore Western about this movie.
Not at all.
It's just guys in hats, and, you know, it's the Dale Evans-style Western of our, you know, if you modernized it. It's this, you know, you can almost, the only thing holding it back from truly being from that era is him singing a song on the damn horse or something, or wearing a blue suit. It's just very light, very fluffy. And we're watching this thing and he comes on, the bad guy, and Robert Molina. And I say, oh, and we saw him in, again, Lady Hawk.
Yeah.
So it makes me want, again, do you see what I'm saying about the incestuousness of Hollywood? It's like, oh, I really like working with him on Lady Hawk, so can we make him the bad guy? You know, I feel like they're not just casting. Mm-hmm. They're calling buddies in. But anyway,
right.
I say this as if it's some huge revelation. I'm sure it's just totally the way it's always been. But it's just, I don't know, it's interesting to me that, you know, how it works. But she goes, I know that guy. And I go, Indiana Jones? She goes, no. And I go, Lady Hawk? Because she watched Lady Hawk. She goes, no. And I said, well, he's in both those. She goes, yeah, but that's not it. And then she, right in the middle of the movie, way later, we'd forgotten she'd asked, she suddenly goes, Octopus Man from Spider-Man. And I said, honey, it's Dr. Octopus. It's not Octopus Man.
Octopus Man. It is Octopus Man. It
really Octopus actually, Man. Excelsior.
Well, at least she didn't remember him from Boogie Nights. That would have been weird.
Oh
yeah.
He's in that too?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen that movie still.
Didn't he still, what's her face? Didn't he still Gidget's daughter?
What? Who?
Not Without My Daughter.
Oh,
didn't he steal her and take her to the Middle East?
What are you talking about? His daughter?
Sally Field movie?
Sally Field, is that it?
I don't know, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
Not Without My Daughter. I think it was a movie with Sally Field. Was he in? I never saw that. So he was in.
He was in Not Without My Daughter. Yes.
Oh, he was?
Yes.
Okay, Brian, you're vindicated.
Yes.
Aha! I knew it!
I didn't know what you were
Octopus
talking about.
Octopus Man. Whatever.
Octopus Man.
Sally Field with black hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, weird.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper had a cameo as the town drunk, but his segment was cut.
Oh, that's too bad.
He was really drunk.
Yeah, I think it's all the country guys are around, and they're like, dude, we can't have it in this movie. Can't have Alice Cooper doing this. And then you guys, at the top of the show, I made a reference to both Mary Margaret and Margaret Mary, this dumb joke about these two people running a women-owned convent or whatever they were trying to establish out in the West. And one of them was Margot Kidder. She played Margaret Mary, one of the villagers robbed of their mission money. Kidder starred as Lois Lane, of course, in Richard Donner's Superman movies.
So this is that scene is the perfect opportunity to start asking the question. Didn't any of this movie make any sense to you guys?
No. No.
No.
In fact, the Indian bits you're talking about with Graham Greene, I had completely forgotten they existed. I do not remember any of that stuff with him getting chased by the Russian hunter stuff. That was all new to me, dude.
Yeah, I didn't remember that either.
All of it. It made me wonder if I was seeing a director's cut. I really thought that for a minute. I thought, ooh, this is not, I don't remember Graham Greene. I don't remember any of this. I remember a card game.
This is not a good sign for a film.
When you're
watching it thinking, am I watching the right movie?
Yeah, very much so. It was a really weird, kind of weird experience. So I won't say I hated it because honestly, the card game forward, I thought was great. Had a ball. Totally enjoyed it. Got a montage.
Yes, it did.
Just fun, you know, who's bluffing who, who's cheating what. There's just, that stuff's
so
fun.
You're basically saying this is a film that's redeemed by its last act,
which is
really rare.
Yeah.
Like usually if a film has a crappy first act or the, you know, like you watch for an hour and you're bored, it's not going to ever get any better.
Yeah, but it's a little bit of an empty salvation, because in a way it's like getting food poison and saying, well, I only puked 8 times instead of 9, so that's something. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't really that well redeemed, but it was, you know, I really had a lot of fun with parts of it. I mean, my daughter loved it, and through her eyes maybe I enjoyed it more, but
I really liked it.
I don't know. But the whole first half kind of sucked.
No, it didn't.
Well,
I'll tell
it.
You now. Yeah. No, what?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I just want to get with Scott here. I want to know if Scott is if it was bad enough that the speck of poop analogy works for you.
Oh, like a speck of poop in a cake?
Right. Yeah. You can mix all the ice cream you want into a bucket of poop and you still have poop. But if you put a speck of poop into a bucket of ice cream, you have poop.
You do have poop, but. See, I've never liked that analogy because to me, it's about the experience of knowing that there's poop. even if it's not discernible poop, like it's not poop you can see or taste because it's so mixed, like it's a grain of poop.
If no one told you there was poop in it.
Well, right. If no one told me, I would never know. But because I've been told, I'm always going, oh my gosh, I'm eating poo. But this is a case where I didn't remember if it was poo or not. And I was really by the halfway mark going, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And then got good. Yeah.
This is exactly why year after year Scott wins podcast awards. Because you can ask him the most deranged damn question. He will take it seriously. And then he will actually get to a place where you never expected to go.
Right.
You know?
That's exactly what I've done there, of course. No, but I really didn't know... I just thought it was better for the latter half. I'm not saying the first half was terrible. It just doesn't hold up very well. The narration is bad.
Really?
The narration is bad. And I'm also sick of... Here, let's play this trope sound that we like to play. I'm sick of the trope, which is the movie starts, he's hanging on a rope, his horse is starting to tuck out from underneath him, he's about to die, and then we do one of those... It had been a rough week up to that point. Maybe my worst week ever. Fade out. Yeah, totally. Let's see what happened before. It's a lost, you know, 2 weeks earlier thing.
I kind of like that, actually. I like that. I don't. Okay, because one of my favorite movies, Fight Club, uses that.
That's
you know,
true.
It opens with Tyler Durden sticking the gun in Jack's mouth. And
Well, okay. You just gave an example of where it's done really well. I think the proper craftsman can pull it off. And I'm not saying Richard Donner is a bad filmmaker by any means, but
no.
I'm just saying it's difficult to do right. And there are some examples, like a couple of those Lost episodes, I actually really do like them the way they're done. Mm-hmm. And I love the reference you're making. I love that in that movie. And there are other examples of it where it works. I just think this was a bad. This to me was like on par with which one of the Pirates of the Caribbean one does that?
Three, four.
I think it's three. That hideous, horrible one, three. There's a point at which, and the way they do it, it's just like in this movie. It starts that way, and then half the movie is getting to the point where he's getting hung, mm-hmm. and then you got a whole rest of your movie to do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it. If it's done not with, again, mm-hmm. without the craftsmanship that perhaps Tyler Durden's bit was done with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and was it necessary for this one? Was it necessary for Maverick? Like, no. Could they have started the movie at the point that he begins telling the story and then gotten to that point organically and, mm-hmm. and
would have made any difference? Or was anybody really in the audience going, oh my gosh, I've got to know how he got to the tree part. I've got to know. Like, nobody's doing that.
Right.
I wasn't doing that. I was just going, okay, we got to wait until we get to the path. And the other thing is, for a movie that had a lot of fun with double crosses and triple crosses and all that.
Mm-hmm. The Gambit pileup.
Yeah. It was pretty easy to follow what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, I never once went, the minute I saw James Garner in 94, I went, okay, well, that's going to be his dad. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Why
I
else?
Love
is,
it. Yeah. It's just me. I love a good Gambit pileup.
I like it too. I just wish it was fooling me more. Or less predictable, you know?
The problem is there was so much of it. You know, about the middle of the film, you're like, okay, well, everybody's double-crossing everyone else. And so they introduce a new character. Oh, the Commodore. Okay, well, who's he working with? And, mm-hmm. you know.
It yeah. didn't bother me because I felt like it was... Nick Tortelli. I felt like it was... No, it didn't... You're right.
I'm so glad you noticed Nick Tortelli. I wrote that down. I was hoping somebody else saw him.
It didn't. Anyway. It didn't bother me because I felt like... I think you guys are looking at the film in a different way than I am. I looked at it as a character building process throughout the movie for Mel Gibson's character. And I felt like the double crosses were almost exposing his
But they never did, though,
naivety?
Because he knew he was in on all of them. See what I mean?
He was in some, and in some ways not. The fact that they made the character very charming... And Mel Gibson was charming as crap in this movie.
Great.
I think it was fantastic. And it was good because I was kind of worried because I haven't really watched a Mel Gibson movie in a long time because of his craziness later in his career.
Yeah.
But going back and just sitting and watching this, I mean, I realized why I loved him so much. I mean, he is just so charming throughout that whole movie.
He's great. He's mm-hmm. great. But yeah. but all I'm getting at is I don't think he was not – the only thing he wasn't in on in the end
yeah. –
was the whether or not that was an ace. That's it.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie, he had all planned out to the end, including when she came and took the quarter of the money.
The great thing about the Gambit pileup is you don't know when it's ever going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, when he finally pulls out the boot of money at the very, 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 very last double, triple cross, you're still thinking, oh, now she's going to march right back in here and take that from him, too. You know?
Yeah, or James Garner's going to get up and walk out with the boot.
Yeah. Right, or whatever.
Wiener, I hope. But yeah,
you know, ultimately, there's another trope there, which is called the last plan standing.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
Yes,
and it just means that after the Gambit pileup has to finally come to an end, somebody has to emerge triumphant holding the boot. You know, it's just like that's always entertaining to me, and it's in so many. It's in the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoky Barrels, and it's in Snatch, and it's in. Oh my gosh, are there Gambit pileups in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Oh yeah, the Ocean's movies are crazy that way, and yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's a. Don't get me wrong. Like in a weird way, this was a heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
A different way of doing a heist movie, but a heist movie nonetheless.
A heist movie where you don't find out it's been a heist until the very end.
Yeah, right.
Always watching a heist movie?
Constantly, oh, that guy pointing a gun at him is probably his friend. We just don't know it yet, and we're just going to find out in a second. Oh, look, yep, I was right. And at every move, when the money got taken, I'm like, nope, that's Mel Gibson. He knows. And the minute he says, don't shoot him, he saved my life once, I'm like, okay. And this is me in 94. Of course, now I kind of knew all this, but... but again, yet all through that, all the memories I have of it, all the tropes I remember, I don't remember Graham Greene. I don't remember the Indian bits. I don't at all. As if I was not there. So maybe I went out and changed a diaper for all I know. I don't know. You know.
Oh, can I run down all the gun tropes?
Yeah, here, let me give you a gun trope.
Oh my gosh,
how about I have nothing. There's your gun trope. What do you got?
This movie has every gun trope, like every single gun trope ever in all movies. The big ones are the fastest gun in the West, right? Our hero mm-hmm. is a master of the quick draw and the master of the quick draw, right? Like the best. Yeah. He may or may not be a good shot, but boy, he can get the gun out of the holster faster than anybody else he's ever going to encounter in the movie.
Right.
Not only is our hero a master of the quick draw, he also is a master of gun twirling. That's a trope.
Yeah.
And it's in every film. For whatever reason, if you're good at one, you got to be great at the other. I don't know why. I've never understood why. It's a very odd skill to have, right?
Like, right.
Why would you?
Well, I mean, if you're a basketball player, you're going to be able to spin it on your middle finger. I mean,
yeah,
it means it equates to the fact that you use a lot of time with your gun.
Yeah. It's got my favorite gun trope because it's in every gun movie, and that's the blast the gun out right out of their hands trope, which is just so messed up. What are the odds of that? It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I'll just stop with Chekhov's gun because it's not specifically gun trope, but it's right in the heart of this film. You know, early on in the film, he lets you know that he's practicing being a psychic. Mm-hmm. And you just know that's going to come around before the end of the movie.
There's going to be a payoff.
Yeah. I expected more from the shirt fetish problem.
Yeah.
That never really
That was a subverted Chekhov's gun right there.
That was MacGuffin-y, but it was also OCD. So way to go, Mel. It's probably a real thing. Probably we're watching improv there. I don't know. That's terrible. Let's see what else. Margot Kidder. I mentioned her. So narration, can we just, I want to get a consensus on, you know, the big Hollywood example you always hear about is Blade Runner, right? Mm-hmm. Like did Harrison Ford's stupid studio induced narration against the will of director Ridley Scott, did that indeed ruin the experience or enhance the experience, or does that narrative tool really work in film?
I think
terrible in this film.
Really? I think in the case of a true action or drama, I think it's a no-no. But I think in a comedy, I think it's okay. I mean, I thought
it was real bad. Maybe it was his reading. I thought it was bad. Maybe it was just his reading. I'll play those later and you'll hear it again and we can argue more. But
maybe without the visuals. Yeah.
I'm trying
to think of a movie where a narration like that works.
I can't think of
City
one.
Slickers.
Another Mel Gibson movie, Payback.
Payback had great narration. Good. No, yeah, it worked there. But then again, see, Payback's playing off of a mobster noir style, right? Yeah. Which is where that stuff, I walked in and the dame was on my desk. She didn't say much, but you know, that's a thing. And I feel like that's a nostalgic thing, or maybe it's a genuinely usable thing.
It's the case in redneck stuff too. I mean, Dukes of Hazzard again.
Right.
It's about the right narrator and the right tone, and this film didn't have that.
Yes, and you know what? So Dukes of Hazzard has that guy, but he's not
Waylon Jennings.
A guy. He's not Bo or Luke or Jesse, who shows up in this movie, by the way, Uncle Jesse.
Dukes of Hazzard connection.
So you're saying if Maverick had had Sam Elliott do all that narration and it hadn't been in first person.
Right.
Okay.
You are on the ball. That would be, oh my gosh. I mean, I know he's already done it when everybody would just, you know, well, back then they wouldn't have, I guess. But if in 94, Sam Elliott would have said, Maverick found himself in a lot of trouble that day.
I would have eaten
that up. Uh-huh. That's uh-huh. different. Yeah. That's different.
It's too easy, though, to improve this movie.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Anybody could.
But the idea that Mel Gibson's writing a journal every night and reading from it is bullpucky. I just think it sounds dumb. It's like, I walked into town and thought, no, just go ahead and walk into town. We can see that.
By the way, this movie nominated for an Academy Award,
for what?
Believe it or not, for best costume design.
Oh,
and it just
that.
Makes you think. It wasn't that good though.
Like, okay.
This must have been a weak year for costumes.
Yeah, it was 94.
Some of the stuff they had, some of the costumes they had was just absolutely fantastically beautiful. Though I mean, it was just
It looked really good, but it must have been a year without any kind of major history piece or
exactly.
Like it was probably like the Pelican Brief was the hardest competition.
Pelican Brief,
the biggest just competitor.
That tie. Yeah, and up for costume design, Pelican Brief, Denzel Washington suit.
Well, the going back to the narration thing, the description that you guys have where it's like a secondary character doing that narration definitely works better. And when you said that, it reminded me of The Big Lebowski and how you've got Sam Elliott doing the narration for that one.
Yep.
And I just looked it up. It was a horrible year for costume design. The other nominees were Queen Margot, Little Women, Bullets Over Broadway, and the winner was Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Which so they give it to the cross-dressing costumes.
That's good.
No, it's fine. It's a fine film for costume design. I'm just saying that's a weak year when you rope Maverick into getting a Academy Award nom.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say maybe a Randy Newman thing, which, by the way, holy Toy Story movie soundtrack.
Immediately thought I was listening to a Toy Story. I was like,
My daughter, my 14-year-old even, I said, what's the soundtrack sound like? She goes, it feels like I'm watching like Toy Story. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it must be way worse than I think it is. Because, okay, so this is a year before the release of Toy Story 1, and he was, by all accounts, probably in the thick of writing music for that movie. I am sure we just caught him in the mood, you know?
Right.
Found a gambler in me.
Found a going stare to the money.
Where are you going, buddy?
Door and he's going to take half of it.
I wish Seth MacFarlane hadn't ruined so many fun jokes.
Yeah, kind of has.
You know? Right. Yeah, he's really taken it down a notch. I don't laugh as hard as I would have if Seth MacFarlane hadn't just beaten that joke into the floor.
Well, he pummeled Randy Newman that one time.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Foot,
let's see.
Right foot.
Okay, it's still pretty funny.
I'm a huge Graham Greene fan. I'm a huge Western fan. I just like things a little more hardcore is all I was getting at. I just, in the end, I know it's Maverick, but even the Maverick TV show still got a little more woolly than this did. This was a lot of winks and nods and ha 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 and I'm fooling you and you're fooling me with very little gunplay. What little there was, it wasn't anything special.
I just enjoyed sitting. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I can't say too much bad about it. I was really struggling to find bad. Even the voiceover stuff.
Did
the
Danny Glover thing rip you out of it though, like it did me?
Now the Danny Glover thing did kind of irritate me, but you know what? Mel Gibson immediately made up for that by trying to hide under the desk and trying to push her underneath the desk. That was pretty funny. I don't know why seeing Mel Gibson trying to get under a desk as hard as possible made me laugh. But maybe forgive.
Exactly what you're talking about.
But the problem with the Danny Glover thing wasn't so much that they made the reference. We all got it, right? Like, okay, I get it. But no, let's have you look at each other three times and still try to decide if you know each other. Like,
and I was just waiting for him to say, I'm getting too old for this crap.
He did. He did. He said that very thing. In fact, here it is. It bugs me.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
He said it. We're running out of the place.
I like that stuff. It's in a movie that's already got so many tongue-in-cheek things and all these cameos and things like that. I mean, you've got the original Maverick in there, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that they've got carte blanche to throw a little Easter egg in there.
Is it like the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes where they put what's his name?
Oh my, no, that's much different.
No, but you know what I mean? Like they put
Heston?
Charlton Heston's a monkey. What a switcheroo that is. He's a monkey in this one. And he's dying on the deathbed and telling his ape son that he needs to whatever. Is it like that, Ibbot? Is that because I hate that too. Like I see those things and I just go, okay, I get it.
It doesn't belong in a drama like that as much as I think it feels natural in a comedy like this. Like, you know, it feels just fine to me to have that in there.
It worked when Buddy Ebsen was in the Beverly Hillbillies movie as a lawyer.
right, exactly.
And I still really like that movie. F you guys
having,
for not liking it.
Lou Ferrigno and Stanley, you know, as a couple of security guards in the first Hulk movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's stuff like that that is, you know.
I hate that too, though. Do you really? You know what? I'm Stan Lee'd out. I don't want to go in another Marvel movie, and it kind of didn't. Like what was the last one?
The X-Men First Class did not have any Stan Lee in it.
No Stan Lee.
Stan Lee.
No Stan Lee.
Oh, Eddie Murphy over there.
Too many things in his schedule, man. Excelsior couldn't make the movie filming.
They won't let me in anymore. I look like a stick with a pair of glasses on it. all right. What else? How come Garner is hanging out with them in the first place? So I understand the ultimate plan, you know, at the end, they're all in on this together, or at least the dad and the son are. But why is he there in the first place?
He's going to be the security guard over the money at the big gambling.
But why were they all traveling together?
Because they were all leaving town. It was a central
point. Just leaving town at the same time with the guy who died on the horses?
Right. Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. That was fine, I guess.
They were on the 2 o'clock coach, whereas there were more people waiting for the 3 o'clock coach. It just happened to be, mm-hmm. you know.
I had a big note here about how the story didn't make any sense, but Randy already really totally nailed that.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lot of sense. Oh, okay, let's get to the lady. So, okay, we always talk about the ladies in movies.
Talk about the ladies.
I have never thought Jodie Foster is attractive in any way.
Really?
No.
Me either. I agree. Cute. But in this movie, I thought she was actually kind of cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
This worked for me. I don't usually like her.
I don't hate her. As an actress, I think she's really talented.
Her nose is too narrow. It's just
what?
It's too small.
I'll let Brian take this one. Yeah.
It's too small. She's got little slits for nostrils. I don't like that.
I can't think of a movie where I think she looks better. I mean, I'm visualizing stuff like Contact,
Father Beans.
Nell.
Nell.
I'm not going as far back as Little Darlings or, you know, any of that stuff. Panic Room, Silence of the Lambs.
Nell's one of those Robert Downey Jr. in, what's that movie? The one with Ben Stiller, that's where he plays a black guy. What, I can't think of it. Jungle something. What is it, Randy? Come on.
Soul Man.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, when he says, you can't go full retard. That's when I hear about that line, I think of Nell. I think of that Nell movie. I'm just saying, she is so over the top in that.
But he actually names Nell, right?
Did he? Oh, I don't know.
Brant?
I don't remember. I know he mentioned like Son of Sam and, or not Son of Sam. What's the one?
I am Sam.
I am Sam, yeah. And others. Radio.
Oh, my gosh.
Freaking radio. Oh, man. Remember radio?
Woo.
Ed Harris,
that was,
what are you
Cuba
doing?
Cuba Gooding Jr., right?
Yep. It probably signaled the downfall.
Yep. Remember Jerry Maguire? Yeah, you're not going to see anything back then.
Sled dogs.
It's time for some snow dogs. Exactly.
Whatever that was called.
Baby daycare or whatever.
Here, I just sent you a link. Look at those slits for nose.
All right.
Jodie Foster.
Does she also speak parcel tongue? Or let's see, take a look here. Jodie Foster, interview for Inside Man.
Oh, this page takes a long time to load.
Yeah, this is super slow. Oh.
Makes me want to see the Immortals, though.
She does have slit nose.
She's got slit nose.
Honestly, look, her in like a casual context, just getting pictures snapped of her in line or something, totally cute. I think she's totally cute.
You know, none of these pictures here and on this page that you link to it look bad at all to
me. Yeah, she looks good.
Yeah.
Real cute in the top right one.
It's in films where I don't like her. It's in the job she has that I think she's annoying. I don't know why, but something about it. All right. So there's that. What else here? Moving on to... Sorry, my son just walked in and is looking at me funny. What's wrong?
Are you doing a podcast?
Shorts?
You're yes,
pointing
I have
at my shorts.
Shorts.
What's wrong with my shorts?
Dad, it smells like it took a poop.
I don't know what he's talking about. I'll talk to you later about whatever that is. What else?
Short pants.
Short pants. I know that was funny. You said it last time. I love it.
I know, yes.
I caught it with you, but I was with you.
Thank you.
We had a montage, by the way. Yeah, when they first started playing poker on the
exactly.
ship.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was great.
I did like that.
Did you guys see? So you mentioned Nick Tortelli. Was he never talked, right? He was just there.
No, he said something. He stood up and said something. He said, "Carla, give me a drink."
Right. Yeah. Something like that, though. But it was really, you know, I'm thinking there's a lot of Dan Hedaya on the cutting room floor.
Definitely.
Is Jesse or Uncle James or Uncle James? Uncle Jesse.
Jesse.
He's still alive. Denver Pyle still alive? No.
No.
No, I think he died a long time ago, actually. Hmm.
Well,
he died in this movie when they threw him in the water.
Years. He died in 97,
Exactly.
Years after this movie.
It was after this movie. He got sick from that river swim.
Love that guy. Wasn't he also in that show? So there's a Utah connection for you. That show with the bear in it.
Gentle Ben.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's from Beaver.
I mentioned that earlier. Yeah. That I was on an airplane with him.
What was that the name of the show? I'm thinking of the Mountain Man show.
Oh. Gentle Ben was a movie, wasn't it? Wasn't the other one called something else?
The same bear was in both, though.
Grizzly Adams.
Bear in both properties, and that bear was raised and lived here for a long time.
What's weird is I don't see him I don't see it listed here. Oh, there it is. Life and Times of Grizzly Adams. There it is. Yeah. He was Mad Jack, 1977 to 1978.
Yeah, he was like the mountain man guy he would get advice from and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I used to love that show. That and Doctari, dude.
Why did we like Grizzly Adams? When I think back on it, I'm like, every episode was him trying to stop somebody start a forest fire or run drugs. I mean, it was like the worst mountain ever.
Poachers, yeah.
Never saw a single episode of that show.
Really?
Ever. Yes.
The guy that played the main dude died of like some cocaine overdose or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some sad.
Oh, well, now I'll have to check it out.
Bears back.
Yeah. Now what do you think of that show? You're right, Brian. It was messed up. It was a weird mountain to live on.
He moved to the mountain so he could be left alone, but every week he was busting crime.
He was solving crime on the mountain.
Yeah. What movie did we watch this week?
Maverick.
Oh, right.
Maverick.
Right.
See, I'm telling you, the rule holds true. We start drifting. James Colburn and James Garner. Awesome to see them on the screen again. I love them in The Great Escape together and other stuff. Mm-hmm.
And they had really good chemistry in this movie. Yeah. Like it's a crap movie, but the scenes in the poker tournament with the two of them are awesome.
Yeah,
and the one of the last scenes that you see the last scene you see the two of them together in around the campfire is really good too.
Yeah, and it was just you kind of like this time more than in '94. I didn't really care, but this time I kind of went, oh yeah, we're not going to see that again probably. You know, they're probably done. This is probably not we're not going to see them do this again. And Eastwood's not making a sequel to that freaking astronaut movie with all the old guys in it. That's not happening again. Garner was in that.
Cowboys, right?
Space Cowboys. Which, you know what? I hate to tell you guys this. I kind of like Space Cowboys.
Well, of course you did. Same reason why I like this movie. It is what it is.
They're not the same. I wouldn't classify them as the same, but a lot of people have a lot of hate for Space Cowboys. A lot of people I talk to think it's terrible. And I kind of have to stand up for it and say, oh, it's great.
You've never seen the Clint Eastwood film Space Cowboys?
Come on. It came out like, 5 years ago?
It's 10 years ago. Yeah. And I'm like with Ib, and I'm like, yeah, like I really wanted to go see that.
No, you want to see a perverted Donald Sutherland in a movie. Yeah.
It wasn't that I stayed away from it on purpose.
It's a Clint Eastwood film.
Randy's acting like you didn't watch Forrest Gump. Okay, come on.
Yes,
you haven't seen Footloose. What?
It's kind of like that. If everything that Clint Eastwood has made in the last 15 years, you're supposed to watch.
Yeah,
Gran Torino.
Except this new one. I hear it's crap. The
$1 million baby sucked.
DiCaprio one. The J. Edgar Hoover thing is supposed to be bad.
Really?
Yeah, people are ripping it up and down. All the critics hate it.
You didn't like Million Dollar Baby, though?
Oh, I love Million Dollar Baby.
I didn't like the movie.
Million Dollar Baby, great narration.
Good narration, yeah.
That's because it wasn't What's-Her-Face doing it.
You know what?
Because it was Rick.
Once in a while, it's a great way to generate a flush of emails. I would love people to email us and say, what is your favorite narrated movie that featured narration as a prominent
holy cow,
piece?
How come we haven't Shawshank even brought Redemption? Up Shawshank? Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Easy answer there.
And that's the best ever, you know? Maybe the best it's ever been done. Mm-hmm. So I will trade that for this poo any day. Oh, I love that movie. Okay, what else? Anything else? Anyone else got anything? You know what? Okay, 94. That was before the big Texas Hold'em is the new way to play poker days.
Yes, it was five card. Everything was five card draw. Right. Whatever.
The whole time I'm going, no. You want to be? Oh yeah, this isn't Texas Hold'em.
You gotta float the river, man. Float the river.
But now, if they did this movie now, I guarantee they'd be playing Hold'em.
Oh, totally.
I'll bet you anything because that would be the thing of the day, the zeitgeist, right?
And everything gets retconned to Texas Hold'em, like Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
That's true. But you know what? Some of my favorite bits in Casino Royale were the poker bits. I'm sure, weird about that. I mean, I like a good poker movie.
There's a reason that Texas Hold'em has won over the favor of everybody. It's easy to understand. It's very dramatic, you know?
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. A lot of crazy crap can happen. You don't have to just hope that ace is on top of your deck.
Right. And they don't have those crazy rules that people can't agree on. Like, no, you can only draw four, and you have to show your ace if you draw four cards.
Yep. It's much
Shut
more,
up. You're
much,
making this not fun.
Much more lockdown. let's see. You guys got anything else? What else you got? You got anything else before I get into clips?
Yeah, let's just do some clips.
It was a little long.
I think it'll redeem them. Yeah, I think it'll redeem the movie.
Movie's a little long at 2 hours. A little bit.
2 hours, 5 minutes. Yes.
It seemed like an hour and a half would have been about right, but what do we know? I mean, most of our movies on FilmSack are about 90 minutes. So,
if we start losing this argument, you have permission to shoot me.
All right. You ready? You mean the narration argument?
Yeah.
That's coming up soon, so watch for that. Here is Whoa, Ollie the Horse.
Oh, whoa, 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 Ollie. Whoa, Ollie. Whoa, Ollie. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't go without me. All right, Ollie.
Ollie the Horse. Ladies and gentlemen, Ollie the Horse. All right, the first bit of narration. You tell me this is good, and I'll eat your hat.
It had just been a shitty week for me from the beginning.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's all you're going to play.
Well, all right, I got more. I'll do more. Well, I'll save it for a minute. It's down the list. The smell of refried beans.
That was good.
Oh, this is also narration, though. You're not wrong. It's funny. Yeah. But it's still bad narration.
From the moment I slapped eyes on this hombre, I smelled trouble and refried beans. Something else told me that this was not just a chance meeting.
And he was not a white man like me. I smelled refried beans because he is Mexican in nature. Let's see. Take me the last 100. What is that? Oh.
Take my last $100 bill.
Right. Yeah. Got it. Here it is.
What is it with people nowadays, anyhow?
I know what you mean. You just can't trust them. Here, take me last 100.
Take me last 100.
And that's him. By the way, that guy, Jeffrey Lewis. Right there.
Yeah.
Father of Juliet Lewis, who we saw in Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, weird. I didn't know he was her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Can't you tell?
He's got a hit. He's got a hit out on Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, he does.
Are you looking at your daughter's feet?
Yeah, you're looking at my daughter's feet. Is he actually he's not Irish.
No,
okay.
No.
I was getting all excited.
He always plays Irish, though. He plays that a lot.
You're looking at my daughter's feet. Hey, hurry, hurry.
Watch him dance.
That's very funny. He was in the Devil's Rejects. Mm. He was one of the Devil's Rejects, and he is,
awesome.
Say what you want about Rob Zombie's movies. That movie is kind of disturbing, and he is a very good actor.
This is like the third Jeffrey Lewis film we've seen, right?
Over the Top, right?
Oh, the fourth then, because if he was in Over the Top, he was in Every Which Way But Loose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Every Which Way But Loose. Hold on.
And
Lawnmower Man,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So three then.
Because we haven't seen Tango and Cash yet.
Is he in that?
Or Fletch Lives.
Is he in Fletch Lives?
Destined, yes. These are both destined to be on our list at some point.
Fletch Lives. Holy crap. I never saw Fletch Lives, so that would be fun. Our movie next week I've never seen, so I'm excited to talk about that at the end of the show.
Good.
Getting too old for this shite. Oh,
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Oh, shit. Not shite.
Mm-hmm. By the way, another one of the bank robbers whose bandana doesn't come down and expose them as another co-star of Mel Gibson is Corey Feldman.
What?
What?
According to the cast list, he's a bank robber.
Oh, really? See, this would have been post-famous. Like, this would have been after his high time in the sun.
Yeah, because right. 90, this would be 90-something. Yeah,
oh, that's not good. Him and Margot Kidder, dude, eating the leftovers. That's not good at all. She looked great, though. Looked like a crazy local town lady.
Wow.
Yeah, Hal Ketchum's in it.
Hal Ketchum, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Gonna make me feel better.
Blowing my head off's not gonna make you any richer.
Sure gonna make me feel better.
Yeah, I like that. Little cowboy talk. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, more bad narration, ladies and gentlemen. 11 seconds this time.
Of course, my old pappy always said I was a damn fool, but I knew if I really believed and made it happen, well, then that would be nothing short magic.
Okay, that could have just been better if he just would have stood there and did the thing with the card. You don't have to tell me.
Right.
Come on, Dunaway, defend it. Defend it. Is he there?
Do we lose Dunaway?
That's just great.
He says he's there. He ain't gone anywhere. Brian Dunaway, you're muted. You're
gonna make fun of my narration.
That's all right. At some point, the audience needs to know, at some point in every episode of FilmSack, all the other, those of us who are not named Scott Johnson, at some point or other, we get up and like go to the bathroom or something. It always happens.
Does it happen? Did you go pee, Brian? Is that where you went?
No, my stupid connection was like going.
Oh, that's code for I had to pee. Got it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I had to pee. You think I can pee that fast?
I'm just teasing. So did
I
you
turn it right now?
So did you?
I unplugged my USB and plugged my USB microphone back in.
No, you sound fine now. Good. Did you? So defend that narration. What's why is that good?
Why is that good? It's because it's fantastic, man. What are you crazy?
That's
listen
the worst
to it.
Argument I've ever heard. That will not hold up in court.
Well, your teacher will give you an F. Did you hear the latest narration that Scott played?
Oh, did you hear this?
I missed the end of it.
Here it is.
Of course, my old pappy always said I was a damn fool, but I knew if I really believed and made it happen, well, then that would be nothing short of magic.
Dude.
Magic.
It's terrible.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with
that. It sounds like he's reading. Somebody says, you know what? Never-ending story audiobook needs a new reader. Hey, Mel, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, I'd be glad to see
that. I will go with you on that.
Never-ending story.
Never-ending story.
Yeah. What you said?
Yes.
You know, for never ending story?
Sorry. Yeah, Nick walked by and it made me repeat things. I don't know why.
I can also stall for time.
It was like I was having Tourette's. It's like, never ending story. What are you looking at, kid? Never ending story. All right. James Garner says his first words.
Cooper, Zane Cooper. Folks call me Coop. It suits me just fine.
Yeah. Come on, man. He should have just done an old man version of Maverick. That's what we should have got.
Well, I thought Mel Gibson was just fine in this. Mm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a purist I'm a huge James Garner fan.
I remember watching Maverick, and there was nothing really serious enough about Maverick to really keep me on, to go, oh no, you ruined Maverick. I don't know. I thought it was okay.
Sorry. Nick, why are you doing this to me? Go upstairs.
What's he doing? He's staring at you?
He's just staring at me. Like some kind of
my dad used to tell me stuff.
Little yellow eyes and hiding in the cornfield. What's going on over there? All right.
Funny.
This old man made me laugh, like out loud.
You all right? Why does everybody ask me that? Now, come on, young fella. Get me up there so we can get this thing going.
Of course.
Guy's on his last foot.
That guy, exactly.
He made us laugh when we watched that.
He did. And then he died later on. That was fantastic.
I got one called, I don't know this one, Help, it says.
Help. What? Help.
What? Help. Wait, what was
that's when he's dangling off the side of the cliff and he's trying to get James Garner to come back.
Oh,
and help him.
Right.
He said, not help me no matter what.
Yeah. They had some pretty good Arizona shots and the Lake Powell footage was beautiful.
Yeah.
When they were shown. Actually, I'll give the movie this compliment. It was really well shot, very pretty for a movie made in 1994. I don't know what that means. Okay, Brian, this one's for Dunaway.
The man who'll blow your brains out is Marshal Zane Cooper. You probably heard of him. I know what you're thinking. He's old and decrepit, gums his food and his women, but he can still shoot straight.
More of that, please.
Wow. That was brilliant.
That's why I love True Grit so much. It's all that kind of talk all the time.
It's gum his food and his women.
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite of this movie. This movie had some of that and then mostly just regular talk, and True Grit had almost all that. And just occasionally somebody would say something normal.
It's really hard to defend this movie because it is about just watching it and enjoying it. And you can't really go, it's one of those guilty pleasures. You can't explain it. You can't say why you like Jersey Shore. I mean, you can't defend it and go, yeah, Jersey Shore is awesome. Why? Because it's got people with drama.
Maverick to Jersey Shore. I just want to clear that, make that point.
I'm just any example of any crap that you kind of like, but you don't know why. It's really hard to defend against something like that because really, you're right. This should not be a good movie. But while I was watching it, I felt good. I felt happy. I felt, you know, it just was not irritating to me like it was to you.
Yeah.
All right. Last half. Last half is awesome. I really like the last half. I thought the first half was just boring. That's all. Graham Greene enters the scene.
You know, the next time you people come to drive us off our land, I'm going to find a nice piece of swampland that's so god-awful, maybe then you'll leave us the hell alone.
Nice. He's just Canadian in that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like he is Canadian, but to hear him talk
I guess that
like
was
that.
Kind of, that was the joke, right? He was dropping the accent and supposed to sound like anything but an Indian.
Like you did, like you said at the top of the show. And it's funny because I think my only other exposure to him up till this film maybe one other movie, but of course Dances with Wolves, where he's, you know, playing it serious. And then
John Dunbar.
But that one with who am I trying to say?
Oh.
The one something heart. Thunderheart.
Heart.
Crap.
Heart.
Thunder Ray fart. No, it's the one with, gosh dang it, Doc Holliday. What's wrong with me? The guy.
Oh, Tombstone.
No, not Tombstone, but the guy who played Doc Holliday. What's wrong with me?
Val Kilmer.
The Val Kilmer movie where he's an FBI agent. Was it Thunderheart? And he had a little bit of Indian blood in him.
Yeah,
he was in that, and he was really good in that. But I'm trying to think. Maybe they were the only two things I'd seen before this. Somehow blocked it out. Just don't remember any of the Graham Greene stuff. Mm-hmm. So watching it now was kind of a weird experience because everything I'd seen him in was, oh, you come to our land and you know steal our women. And then this was like, hey, well, how's it going? Kind of talk. And it threw me off.
I loved him back in the 70s when he did those commercials where people were littering. I loved that one.
Shut up. Where a tear goes out. You're such a dink. You always bring that commercial up. You brought that up the other day on Final Score, I think. Something about the Indian.
I love that commercial because you know why? Because it makes me laugh and I feel so evil about it. I mean, it's just an absolute core of me just hates that commercial makes me laugh.
Yeah, but they're yanking your tear ducts on purpose. And so it should make you laugh.
It's making me just die.
All right. Don't shoot no more Indians.
Don't you shoot any more Indians.
I just thought that was a great line. So
it was good. And you know, something about this character, and I don't know if Mel Gibson was influencing this or if Donner was really good at it, but there's a bit of sympathy that just keeps building up for this character, even though he's kind of a shyster and you kind of want him to win.
Yeah, and that's true of the show too, don't you guys think? It's not exclusive to the film.
Yeah, the movie has a problem though, and that is that no one can be trusted at all. And when everybody lies to everyone all the time, you don't have this counterpoint to focus on and see as your source of enjoyment.
Right.
And at first, it's clever, but then it stops being clever, and it's just like, well, I'm just not going to believe anything anybody says, so how could this be entertaining?
Yeah.
Well, I think you can believe everything that Mel Gibson says.
What? He's the one who's like in league with half of the people
we all know it. We're all in on the gag. That's the thing. The audience is in with it with Mel Gibson. We all kind of know what's going on. I mean, you said to yourself, it's predictable. You know what's coming.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not giving us any of the money. You know what I mean? Like, we're not in on it that way. So in a way,
maybe you didn't get no money, but I got my check in today.
Listen, you're not wrong. He's infinitely charming in his best days, for sure. And keep in mind, I felt like this was pretty good work, given that he was in the thick of working on his next big, huge opus, which was Braveheart, which the very next year won Best Picture, Best Director. And it could not be further from what this is in terms of the kind of movie it is. And I mean, this is Mel Gibson in his prime, man. He is pumping out the hits. He is like a huge box office draw. You know, he is Brad Pitt now, I guess. Yeah. Who is it now, actually? Who's the big male draw now? Do we have a guy like that now? Is it becoming that that Notebook kid?
Ryan Reynolds?
The other guy.
No, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is definitely doing it in the the romantic Gosling. Comedy thing.
Gosling. Ryan.
Yeah, but I don't feel good about Gosling. When I watch him, I'm like, what a douche.
It's because we're getting old, dude.
Is that it?
Yeah, because there are people now who just think he is.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem funny. He just goes, he thinks something's funny. He just gets this little cocky little attitude.
You melted him down to that one little thing. I like that.
Well, yeah, people say, you look good. You look handsome. You're cut. And he goes,
So I'm sorry to say that the current big bank actors are Daniel Radcliffe, Robert Pattinson, Orlando Bloom.
Justin Timberlake. That's the dude I will go watch at a movie and enjoy because he can laugh at himself and he can just do it.
I still haven't bought into him as the guy I really care about going to see. I like him. He's okay. But
I think Sam Worthington is on the rise there.
Yeah, he seems to be doing okay, although there's a lot of I don't know, all this post Avatar hatred kind of backfires on that guy a little bit. I just think it's interesting because there's not a lot of, I don't know, there's nobody in their 40s commanding, like early 40s commanding the kind of attention that Mel Gibson did in his early 40s.
Yeah.
Right.
Except Brad Pitt, who's now in his late 40s, but whatever.
Right. Will Smith can probably still come
out. That's true.
Johnny 40s. Depp.
I'm not thinking about Johnny Depp. I guess there's plenty. I don't know. I just, it feels like a different time. That's all. And it is. So Ryan Gosling, good luck to you.
I don't think he's in the same league though as like Robert Pattinson.
Oh no, no, no. Well, I would actually argue that Gosling is a few notches ahead. He's done some really great work.
I mean, I'm just talking about in bankable terms.
Oh,
we're talking
right.
about bank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. If Pattinson's getting a lot of hatred right now, but do you think he goes much further than this Twilight crap? Like,
I don't think he does because you know, my wife and they don't go, ooh, another Robert Pattinson movie. Ooh, I got to go see it. They just go, I got to go see another Twilight movie. Now, mm-hmm. on the flip side, they may actually go see somebody else.
And the other Robert Pattinson movie that just came out that wasn't a Twilight movie did terribly.
Oh, that elephant movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Gosling, mm-hmm. my wife will go see anything he does. So
the only reason I want to see the elephant movie is I heard that, who's the girl in it? The blonde? Legally Blonde, her.
Oh, Reese Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon gets farted on by an elephant, I've heard. Like it really happened and they just decided to keep it. I totally want to see how that went.
That's the only reason you want to see that
movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's so disgusting.
Yeah. In fact, anytime there's a Reese Witherspoon movie, the reason I want to see it is I heard something farted on her.
Actually, this is, here you go right here. So IMDb has a thing called the Star Meter Top 10.
Okay. Oh, very good.
Ryan Gosling is number one. Johnny Depp, number two. And then you've got your Olivia Wilde, your Amanda Seyfried, Berenice Marlowe.
Olivia Wilde?
Yeah.
Are you
Olivia
serious?
Olivia Wilde is number
that
three.
And I, crazy.
What is yeah, she, that's, what's that's, she in right now?
Well, it's way too skewed to this year then.
Oh, it's, you know what? It's skewed to this week. Week of 11 November.
Skewed down to the week, baby.
But doesn't it sort of become about who's on there the longest? Like who stays, right? Like that's what would matter.
Sure. Well, you look at the names of the people, try and figure out who in here has staying power. So Johnny Depp, a really good name to see on here.
Yeah, because he's up there all the time.
He's probably up
where,
here.
I wonder where is Margot Kidder on that list? how is she doing?
She's busy trying to get her money back.
It's fleeting stuff, dude.
What movie were we watching this week again?
Maverick.
Right.
Maverick. Oh, speaking of which, Maverick's up for some awards. I don't know if you knew that. They're called the Film Sack Awards, and they go a little something like this. Maverick won the following awards from the Film Sack Committee to vote for Film Sack nominations. The most overdubbed Richard Donner film since Superman 2 Award. The Best Use of Lake Powell Award. The Hey Graham Greene Talks Like a Canadian Award is awarded to this film. The Great Excuse to Get the Great Escape Crew Back Together Award. And the I Still Don't Think Jodie Foster is Very Attractive Award. She wins that. Congratulations on that. Star Trek connections are fruitful and many. And by that I mean Burt Remsen, riverboat poker player, was on Deep Space Nine as a Bajoran named Cubus Oak in the Collaborator episode. Don Stark, riverboat poker player, was in DS9. Yurdian Ashrock and Melora something. ST First Contact. Oh, he was also in First Contact, the movie Nikki the Nose. Is that from First Contact? Yeah, anyway. Did they do a stupid holodeck thing where everybody was playing like they were in the 40s? I don't remember. I don't think so. Anyway.
What?
Yeah, that's what this is saying. Nikki the Nose is from one of like Picard's film noir things you'd like to do.
Oh, yeah. I can see that, yeah.
Seems like a guy he would fight was Nikki the Nose. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Henry Darrow was also, he was a Vulcan admiral named Savoy in Conspiracy. He was also on Voyager. He was also a riverboat poker player. And then Kimberly Cullum was the music box girl. She was on TNG as Gaia in Thine Own Self.
Man.
And then finally, William Marshall, riverboat poker player, was in the original episode as Dr. Richard Daystrom in The Ultimate Computer. Thank you, Daryl, for your weird obsession with Star Trek.
Right? And what do you have to say about Maverick, the movie? It employed half of Hollywood at the time.
It seemed like it, yeah. It seemed like a lot of people were involved. The soundtrack, great. I'd give it a T for Toy Story, basically.
Fantastic, but yeah, we've heard it before, right?
Yeah, a few times. Well, at least later that next year. There you have it. That's your big film. That's your movie and its awards. Let's do a Twitter post. This is 140 characters or less from each of you describing what you think of this film. Let's start with Randy.
Maverick. An excellent final act / twist is preceded by what amounts to be a student film written by non-film students attempting to impersonate Mel Brooks. It's Hudson Hawk in the Wild West minus the gravitas.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
Telling you, man.
Hudson Hawk.
Slurp my butt.
That's right. Brian Dunaway.
Maverick, a movie with more twists than an M. Night Shyamalan film and more endings than a certain Spielberg movie starting with an A and ending with an I. You got a friend in me.
Nice. Brian Ibbett.
I can't top that. Maverick, is it a Western? Is it a comedy? You get your peanut butter in my chocolate. You get your Danny Glover in my bank robbery.
That was pretty good, too. Well, here's what I learned while you got James Colburn to be in your silly movie. Maverick is OCD about his shirts. Just a statement of fact. There's a lot more math in this movie than I remember. I miss charming Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Throw me the idol. I'll throw you the whip. And finally, there's nothing quite like comparing wieners with your dad in the bathhouse.
That was good.
Yeah.
Ick.
Yeah.
Now, interesting question I got to ask you in the bathhouse.
She's right. They are similar.
Look at that. Wow.
Similar penises, Maverick. What do you
think? So the lady in the bathhouse was a Donner. Is she related to Richard Donner?
Probably.
I think so. Yeah, it's Shula Donner or whatever.
She the one that brought him towels and stuff?
I think so, yeah. Diane Schuler Donner.
Is she an actress or is she just
I think she's a wife. Lauren, there you go. Stuff. Lauren Schuler Donner. Yeah, it's a name that let's see here. There was something else that she was famous for, and I'm trying to remember. Is it producer? Yes, she is. She's a
producer. She's got the monies. Mm. Yeah.
She produced almost all the X-Men movies.
Oh, you're kidding. That'll weird. Do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, those are Donner, whatever you call them, productions.
Right. The upcoming Deadpool she's producing, X-Men First Class, Origins Wolverine.
I forgot Deadpool is coming.
Last Stand, X2, X-Men. Yeah, there you go.
Wow. X-Men fan. Fantastic. Yep.
And all the Free Willy movies.
Oh,
yeah. Well, just like in Maverick.
Can't win them all.
And Pretty in Pink. Wow, look at the Lady Hawk, producer.
Ooh. My.
Well, her husband directed, so.
But she wasn't, I don't think they were married then because she was just Lauren Shuler.
Maybe that's when they got it together.
Maybe how they met. Yep.
All right.
You Donner, you dog, you.
Well, he wasn't. I'm thinking of Carpenter. Never mind. All right. James from Provo, Utah. Utah Connection email. Got an email from him. Says there are actually a slight difference between midgets and dwarfs. Because this keeps coming up. Because of time bandits. Contrary to what people believe, they are not interchangeable terms for the same group of short people. While dwarfism is a medical condition affecting physical development resulting in lowered stature, more often than not, what you come across is what you would call disproportionate dwarfism. Disproportionate dwarfs usually have short legs, short arms, and possibly overlarge heads. But their torso and sometimes head may or may not be smaller than average. While there are over 200 different causes of dwarfism, 70% of all dwarfs have the same condition resulting in disproportionate body shape. The term midget refers to what could be called proportionate dwarfism, where the individual is literally just a small person that resembles a child in size and stature. Because of this difference in the definition, most dwarfs take offense at being called midgets, as it does not describe their particular diagnosis. I love the clinical nature of this email.
Yeah. I
like
it. Schooled.
No, I like it because it's non-emotional. It's not coming from any bias. It's just straight up, and I like that. Love the show. Keep up the great work. James from Provo. Thank you, James from Provo. I hope you're enjoying your high-intensity BYU education. Go Cougars. All right. What else is going on? Scott Fletcher. He has stuff to say. Let's see if I can pull those up and not screw this up. Here we go. $500,000 silk what?
Well, Brett, you know what you ended up with? $500,000 silk skirt.
Okay, he says skirt. He meant shirt.
Mm-hmm. Shirt.
That's funny.
I think Scott Fletcher heard that wrong. Mm. Or maybe the quote in IMDb is wrong. I don't know.
I thought he said shirt because that was the thing. They shrunk the shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, he definitely said shirt.
Definitely was a shirt.
Yeah, it was for sure.
Yeah, definitely was a shirt. Yeah, what were we, Rain Man all of a sudden? Yeah. Got a whole group of Rain Men over here.
It's another Utah connection. Only got one gun.
I've only got one gun. That's 6 bullets. There's 6. That's 36. Maybe that's they've got 2 guns. That's 72 bullets. Maybe they've got rifles.
Wow. A lot of math in this movie.
I like it.
some bloopers.
What is it with you Indians anyway? What is it with you and Indians? See, a little misread there, and I all of a sudden I can't run for president. What is it with you and Indians anyway?
There he goes.
Perfect.
Got it at the end. And then finally, I like it when he swears, even if it's bleeped.
I'm getting too old for this.
Yes. We can save that for when we do Lethal Weapon.
Totally.
Yep.
He's thinking ahead.
Look at us. We're conservatory here at the Film Sack Studios. That's it, guys. That's Maverick. Welcome to Maverick. Next week, a film I've never seen. I have no expectation for. I am totally stoked as a result. The film is Last Man Standing.
Excellent
film. Who knows what this is? Randy, what is Last Man Standing?
Last Man Standing is a remake of the famous film Yojimbo, the Kurosawa film. We're talking about... what's his name? Bruce Willis and Christopher Walken.
Oh,
correct.
Our first
correct.
Walken
and
movie.
No it's way. it's a great example of a perfect film for FilmSack because we have no idea if it's any good.
Yeah,
I do. I was the one who suggested this movie a while back, and I think it's an excellent movie. Oh, I saw it back in the day. I want to see if it holds up. I have not watched it. Like
a drifting gunslinger for hire finds himself in the middle of an ongoing war between the Irish and Italian mafia in a Prohibition era ghost town.
Mm-hmm. Until so you like described it, I honestly was thinking it was a Last Boy Scout.
It's got a similar cover.
And folks, what an awesome December of FilmSack we've got coming. Assuming we don't get screwed out of any of these movies, we've got Last Man Standing, followed by Lethal Weapon 2, followed by our big 100th episode, Last Action Hero. And just in time for Christmas, The Gods Must Be Crazy 2. Could there be a better Christmas movie than The Gods Must Be Crazy 2?
Well...
Merry Christmas.
Yes, but it's perfect for FilmSack, is if that's what you're getting to. Yes, so that's all looking real good. I'm just checking out the cast here. Christopher Walken, we have not had him on the show yet, so this is a big deal.
What?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
No Walken movies.
If it's Walker impression, I can't wait.
Oh, my gosh. And 100, remind people, it's Last Action Hero, yeah?
Yeah.
You just said that. I'm stoked about that.
Totally.
Because
assuming nothing gets shifted by Netflix and their crazy surprises, that's we're talking about the episode 100 about say December 16th.
Yeah, they keep yanking stuff without warning us, which sucks. So if we ever do that, where you hear us say next week we're doing this, and then you don't hear it, that's why it's not us. Mm-hmm. We promise we're not trying to mess with your heads. Like a couple weeks ago, we were supposed to watch Strange Days, and I was really looking forward to it. And they yanked it like 3 months early or something. So, whatever, man. All that pressure from I can't think of her name. Oh, the Bigelow camp.
Catherine Bigelow.
Yep. Can't watch our movies now. Sorry.
What?
Go watch the bomb movie with the guy who plays Hawkeye. Watch that. What's that movie called?
Can't wait.
What's it called? What were the guy disables bombs? One best picture.
Hurt Locker.
The Hurt Locker. All right, that's it. Stay tuned for next week. Last Man Standing. The site is filmsack.com. You can find all our archives there. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. Join our forums at filmsack.com. Lots of great suggestion posts and things about movies we should cover and just great general discussion about the movies of now, yesterday, and forever.
Lots of people telling us where we got it wrong.
Yeah, which I really enjoy as well.
I do too.
There's nothing wrong with that. We like your smart brains.
Nothing better than being us being critiqued while we critique others.
Yeah, that's awesome. Bring it. We love it. FilmSack is the Twitter account you should follow. And you can leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that as well. That is going to do it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, for me, Scott Johnson, for Brian, and for Randy.
Randy.
We'll see you next week.
How many wampums in a ruble?
Please.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.